Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the book of Psalms. We thank you, Lord, that they are a book that touches our hearts and our feelings and wonderfully points to your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray tonight that through this psalm we will be encouraged to look to the one who rules and reigns and the one who will return and finally deal with injustice and evil. We thank you that our hope is in him and not in any other human being. And so we pray, Lord, for hearts and minds open to your word this evening. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. People have great hope when a new leader is chosen and takes office. I think many people were saddened by the resignation of Mike Baird, the New South Wales Premier, because they thought that he, you know, still had a number of good years left. In looking at the reports, it was interesting that they focused on two things that they felt might have sort of ended his political career. One was the response to the lockout laws, which you would think actually possibly saved a few lives. You think, is that really something he would resign over? And the other thing, of course, was the racing issue, where, of course, he was going to ban greyhound racing, but then, of course, under pressure, decided not to do so. But you would also think that, looking at the greyhound racing industry, it is an industry that is cold and callous and cruel. It needs to be reviewed, if not closed. But in the end, I don't believe those two issues brought his resignation about. He resigned because he's committed to his family and wants to be there for his dad and his mum and his sister who are going through health issues. But the world wants to find a reason. America today stands divided. They have a new leader. Some have great hopes for him. Others have great fears for him. The world, in some ways, stands on the brink. Everybody seems to be afraid. Is there hope for the future under Trump? Well, Psalm 21 points us to a leader who delights in God, a leader that God has chosen, a leader that puts God first in his life, and it will be through this leader that God will deal with injustice and wickedness and bring about a new world order. Last week we looked at Psalm 20. We saw that that was a prayer for the king to be victorious against his enemies. It was a prayer of confidence in the Lord. It was a prayer that led us to trust the Lord and not in might and power. If you look at verse 20 of that psalm, it says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses." That's the war machine of the day. "But we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Well, this prayer in Psalm 21 in some ways answers that prayer in Psalm 20. If you look at verses 1 to 4, you've got, you know, expressions such as, "May the Lord answer you, may the Lord send you help, may he remember your sacrifices, may he give you the desire of your heart, may the Lord grant all your requests." Somehow, Psalm 21 answers some of that, but also will answer it in the future. Psalm 21, we see that the king has experienced the answer to his prayer. Now that response, that answer to his prayer is actually brought about joy, gladness in the heart of the king. In verse 21 he says, "O Lord, the king rejoices in your strength. How great is his joy in the victories you give," or it could also be translated, "in the deliverances that you have given." Now I want to point out two things here. Two words. Emphasis that the king rejoices and he has joy. The king has experienced the deliverance prayed for in Psalm 20 and he has responded with joy. The psalmist reminds us that if we've experienced God's grace, if we've experienced God's deliverance, then we will not just, you know, respond to that with our brain, but we will respond to that with our feelings and with our hearts. Not to be moved in our hearts and in the depths of our being means we've not truly grasped what God has done for us in Christ. When we lived in Griffith, there was a gentleman that I knew, and he was in the local shopping centre, one of the small shopping areas in Griffith. And he happened to see a child wandering away from his mother and crossing the road. But this was a 3-4-year-old child who had not noticed that there was a car coming. So my friend responded very quickly, ran down, grabbed the child and went across the road. The mother, of course, saw what had happened, was horrified and amazingly thankful, grabbed the child, and my friend decided not to stay around but to leave. So she did not have the opportunity to thank him. But what she did do, she actually wrote a letter to the Area News, which is the local paper, thanking this mysterious man for saving the life of her child. If we've experienced deliverance, if we've experienced rescue, then it's hard to imagine that we are not going to be emotive about it. We're not going to show some sort of gratitude. It would not make any sense. In Psalm 21, the king rejoices. The king has joy in what God has given him. And this is not just something the Old Testament teaches us. Sometimes people look at the Old Testament and say it's dry, it's old, you know, it's not relevant. But it also points us to the New Testament, because that is the experience of believers under the New Testament. Jesus says in John 16, "Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." In Acts 13, it says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. At Philippi, when the jailer was converted, we read in Acts 16, he was filled with joy. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, says in Romans 14, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." The king's joy here comes from his relationship with God. Jesus' joy also comes from his relationship with his Father. The Christian's joy comes from their relationship with God through Jesus. There is much that we should be rejoicing about. In Psalm 21, the joy comes from answered prayer. God has answered the king's prayer, or the prayer of his people. Now, David may have been given deliverance from his enemies, but when we look at the Psalms, we need to realize that as once this was man's word to God, it has now become God's word to us. And therefore, this is not just about David's little puny victory. This is pointing to David's greater son. This is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Jesus here rewarded for his faithfulness and obedience. So it's not about some little victory, but it's about a greater victory that God has achieved through Jesus over death. See, God has granted, as we saw last week, Jesus' heart's desire and request, because Jesus' heart desires to do the will of God the Father. His desire was to be obedient even to the cross. Now Christ has ascended, he's been victorious, he now is seated at God's right hand, and he's greeted with great blessings, and he's crowned king over all things. In verse 3 we read, "You welcome him with rich blessings and place a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever." I mean, David died. This can't be focused on David. In the garden, Jesus asked for his life when he asked for God's cup of wrath to pass from him. And this is explained in the letter to the Hebrews when it says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission." Heard in this sense that he eventually submitted, of course, to God's will. He obeyed God's call to give up his life for sinners, for you and me, but he was rewarded with length of days, forever and ever. Jesus is alive. He lives a life that death can never touch. He lives a life that now gives life to all who turn to him. And this king, unlike David, also is given the qualities of God: glory, splendor, majesty. The king shares in the beauty of God. So, humanly speaking, King David never reached these heights, but Jesus did after his resurrection and when he was ascended and sat at the right hand of God. So far, the psalmist pours out all these wonderful blessings that this king, this Messiah, and I believe pointing to Jesus has received. But what's the ultimate blessing? Well, the ultimate blessing is the presence of the Lord himself. Look at verse 6. Surely you've granted him eternal blessing and made him glad with the joy, there's that word again, of your presence. The eternal blessing that is given to the king is linked to the Lord himself. It is the presence of the Lord that is the source of his gladness and joy, not just all the other blessings. It's not about the gifts or the blessings, but he delights in the giver. Remember back to last Christmas, not that long ago, is it? As you ripped the paper off your presents, some of you were pleased, some of you were disappointed, and some of you were polite about the gifts. But that's too much focus on the gifts, isn't it? And too little focus on the giver. David's focus here isn't on the gift, but on the giver. And the greatest gift that the giver can give is himself. That was the main promise that God made to Abraham when he said, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants. On Mount Sinai with Moses, God said that he will dwell with his people. With David, he said, my love will never be taken away from you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. And all this will be fulfilled when Christ returns, because in the book of Revelation we hear, look, God's dwelling is now among the people and he dwells with them. They will be his God and God himself will be with them and be their God. That is the ultimate. It's not the new heaven and the new earth. It's not being immortal. It's having the presence of God, because that is going to bring us great joy. The presence of God is the ultimate blessing and will bring us the greatest joy that will last forever. Why is it? Because the presence of someone you love brings you joy in your life. Anna and I recently went down to Tomakin for a few days, and the kids drove down. Well, actually, Nicholas drove all the kids down. And we met at a park at Batemans Bay. And I was delighted to see my children again. It filled my heart with joy because I'd actually missed their presence. It was good. I thought, yes, that's good. Because when you do love your spouse, a friend, family, you do want to enjoy their presence. And when they do go away, you do miss them. But here in this psalm, there's a reminder. It's only those who already love the Lord that will actually desire his presence and will see it as a blessing. If you don't love someone, then you really don't have any desire to be in their presence. And if you do happen to be in their presence, all you're going to do is tolerate them. See, for the king, God's presence is the best. And for the Christian, God's presence is its own reward. That's the ultimate. And all this leads the king to express his trust in God, which of course is based on God's love towards him. In the Hebrew, it's the word chesed, which reflects the New Testament word grace. So it's a beautiful word of God giving of himself graciously. And that comes up in verse 7, where it says, for the king trusts in the Lord through the unfailing love, or the chesed, of the Most High. He will not be shaken. So the psalmist is looking forward to the ultimate delight, God's presence, but he's also enjoying God's unfailing love now, and that unfailing love moves him to trust him. You see, David never trusted himself or in his achievements or in his victory. He trusted in God because of his love and commitment to him. David rejoiced, was glad because of God's love for him. Jesus rejoiced and was glad in the Father's love for him. That love that enabled him not to be shaken from his path of obedience. And the Christian will not be shaken if he or she trusts in God's love, God's unfailing love, God's unconditional love. And that love was displayed for you and for me on the cross. How do you know that God loves you? It's not about health or wealth or might or success. How do you know that God loves you? You look to the cross and you see the love of God, his chesed, poured out in the life and blood of Jesus. How do you know that God loves you? You know that God loves you because he's given you a future as you look to the resurrection. You see a future without injustice, corruption, hypocrisy or death. But we are called to turn and trust in God through Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the reward of God's presence, the joy of God's presence, will not be ours. It's on offer, freely offered, but people will reject that offer. And if they do reject that offer, there will be a day when Jesus returns and justice will be done. And we see this in verses 18 to 13. See, the ultimate answer to the prayer of Psalm 20 in relation to victory is the coming of the kingdom of God, when all evil will be removed forever. God will come and deal with his enemies. What we have here is a picture of God as a warrior in full armor against his enemies. Verse 8 and verse 9 says, your hand will lay hold on all your enemies. Your right hand will seize your foes. At the time of your appearing, you will make them like a fiery furnace. In his wrath, the Lord will swallow them up, and his fire will consume them. And these words are echoed by the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians, his second letter. He says this, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. They will be shut out from the presence of the Lord. That's the ultimate punishment, never to experience the joy of God's presence. But he goes on and reminds us that evil will lose, injustice will lose, corruption will lose, because the psalmist rejoices in God's justice. In verse 11 and 12, we're told, though they plot evil against you and devise wicked schemes, they cannot succeed, for you will make them turn their backs when you aim at them with drawn bow. They will not succeed. Evil will not win. Corrupt people will not win. David did not achieve this. The Lord Jesus has and will achieve this when he returns. And all this will lead to the praise of God for all that he has done. For it ends in verse 13, be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We sing and praise your might. This psalm was never fulfilled or could never be fulfilled by David. It may have answered a prayer of the people for David, but it looks beyond David to something and someone greater. Someone who is rewarded because of his obedience, and someone who will deal with evil and injustice, and that is the Lord Jesus. New South Wales may be concerned over the resignation of Mike Baird. America might be divided over Trump becoming president. But there is no fear when it comes to knowing that one day God's king and God's kingdom will come and finally evil be removed. Christians follow someone they can trust and who will never let them down, never disappoint them, and never use his power against them. Our hope is never in a new leader, but in Jesus Christ, who has ascended into heaven and sits at God's right hand as king over all creation. Through him we receive every blessing. Through him we receive life everlasting. Through him we will be glad with the joy of God's presence. That is the ultimate blessing. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you yourself are the greatest reward, that you yourself are the greatest blessing. We thank you that you have given of yourself through your Son. We thank you that you continue to give of yourself through your Spirit And I pray, Lord, that every single person here will take hold of you, so that all of us will know the joy of your presence now and for the rest of eternity. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.